We begin the current daf in Ksubas daf Ayin Vav. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And then in the previous Mishnah, daf Ayin Heyman Aleph, the Mishnah introduced 2 halachas that seemingly are contradictory. That is, the Mishnah was talking about mumen, certain blemishes that a woman has, which are grounds for divorce, and the husband doesn't have to give the ksuba. So the first case that the Mishnah opened up with was that if they find the mumen, if they find it, they discover it when the woman is still engaged in our father's household, then the father has to bring a proof that actually they were, the blemishes were there before, that only happened after they got engaged. Hence, at the time of engagement, she really didn't have blemishes. And therefore, if he wants to divorce her, he has to give her a ksuba. Because at the time of Kedushin, she didn't have blemishes. And therefore, that fulfills the requirements. And therefore, she gets the ksuba. However, but that's incumbent upon the father to bring the proof. Then the Mishnah moves on to the next case. If, however, they don't discover the woman until she's finally married in her husband's domain, then if he wants a divorce on grounds of the blemish, he has to bring a proof that actually the blemishes were there before he got engaged. But if he can't bring the proof, then he has to give the ksuba. So that the Gemara said that seemingly those are contradictory halachas. And the reason being is because there are 2 chazakas going on over here. A chazaka is a presumptive state of something which the halacha defines it based on what it was up until now. Now, the woman has a cheskes haguf. That means to say that we presume that she did not have a blemish up until we know that it was developed, because people are not born blemished. Whereas the husband has a cheskes mamon, whereas that his money is his until we can prove that he has to give it away. So the woman, chazaka, her body is saying that the blemish was not there when she got engaged. Hence, she should get the ksuba. His money is saying that it'll stay right where it is, which is in his domain, until you could prove to me that it happened actually after the Arison. And then he would have to give it. But up until then, the chazaka says he gets to hold on to the money. So those 2 halachas are contradictory. Regarding the ratio where it says the father has to prove it, that sounds like Rabbi Yeshua, who Rabbi Yeshua holds that even though there's a cheskes haguf working in the woman's favor, but the cheskes mamon is stronger than that, and therefore the father has to bring a proof. Whereas the Seifa sounds like Rabbi Gamliel, which says, like, no, although the husband has a cheskes mamon, doesn't make a difference. Her cheskes haguf says that she was not blemished before the Kedusha. Now you discover it happened now at a later point in time. And therefore, the halacha is going to say that it's going to be the husband's obligation to prove it. So that's what the Gemara's question was. Seems like the Reish is talking about like Rabbi Yeshua, and the Seifa is like Rabbi Gamliel. So the first test the Gemara brought was Rabbi Elazar, who actually says yes, Tavra. It must be Misha Shanazu Leshanazu. The Reisha, that Tana is teaching like Rabbi Yeshua, and hence it wouldn't make a difference actually where was discovered. It just happened to pick it that way. It was discovered in the father's house. It doesn't make a difference where, even if it was discovered in the husband's domain, it still would be that the father would have to bring a raya, because it's going like Rabbi Yeshua, who holds Cheskes Mom and overrides Cheskes Aguf. Whereas the Sefer is going like a different Tana, like Rabbi Gamliel, who that actually the father always wins and the husband always has to bring a proof. It just happens to say it that it was discovered in the husband's domain, but even if it was discovered when she was still by her father, the husband would have to bring a raya. That was what Rabbi Elazar said. Rava said, because that's the maskana how we pass like Rabbi Gamliel, he says, no, the entire Mishnah is like one Tana, like Rabbi Gamliel. But then how do we understand the principle of the Reisha? Why does the father have to bring a raya if we say that the father and the daughter, they're the same team, who they want to collect the ksuba from the husband? Why do they have to bring a raya over there when it was discovered in the father's domain? Is because of the principle known as kanimtsa kanhoya, which means to say that if this is where it was discovered, then we assume that this is where the problem started. And therefore, when it's discovered in the father's domain, then we say that this is probably where she grew up. This is where the blemish was, meaning even before she got engaged. However, and that's why they would have to bring a raya, that it wasn't then before she got engaged, only afterwards. Whereas regarding the case where it's found in the husband's domain, then we assume that's where the blemish was, that's where it happened, because that's where it was discovered. And therefore the husband has to bring a raya that's not where it was developed, and it was developed beforehand. That was Rava's approach. That's our current daf. Continues with a third approach with Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi is coming to resolve like similar like Rava, not like Rav Elazar, to say that the Reisha and the Seifa are different Tanoim. Rather, it's all like Rav Gamliel, where he holds that the Chazakas Haguf is better. Now, if the Cheskes Haguf is better, it overrides the Cheskes HaMomen, so we understand the case of the Seifa, where the husband has to bring a Raya, and if he doesn't, then the father and the daughter, they win out, because her Cheskes Haguf says that the blemish was not there when they got engaged. However, Reisha, the reason why the Cheskes HaGuf does not work when she's still in her father's household, meaning during engagement period, is because, interestingly, it's not her claim. It's not really between the husband and, it's not between the chassan and the kala there. It's between the chassan and his father-in-law, meaning her father. Reason being is because now that he wants to divorce her when she's engaged, she finds out she has this blemish. She's like, I don't want to marry such a woman. So they say, fine, but give us the ksuba, because I'm telling you what the father is saying. At the time of Kedushin, she didn't have it. It's an estach v'sadeyu. It was your loss. It's your bad mazel. It only happened afterwards. Now, who gets the ksuba then? The father gets the ksuba because when she's still in Arusa, she was not removed from her father's domain yet. Hence, that would be the corollary of a case of manu la'aba b'yadcha, where if somebody tells someone else that my father's money is in your hand, now, regard that, which means to say that, let's say the woman is telling the chassan, saying that my father's money is by you. You owe my father money. And then maybe the father will share with her, but it's the father's claim that's being staked against the husband. Now, as Rashi points out, regarding the father, we cannot combine har cheskes aguf with his claim. And therefore, in the case of the Reisha, the father who's staking the claim, because he wants to collect the ksuba, she's not getting the ksuba, the father's getting the ksuba. Now, what are you coming with against? He has a cheskes mamon. What do you have? A cheskes aguf? You don't have a cheskes aguf. Your daughter has a cheskes aguf. So therefore, in that case, Rav Gamliel would agree, which is the case of the Reisha, that the father has to bring a raya, and if he doesn't, the husband gets to hold on to it. But for Seifa, the Seifa is man li b'yadcha. Seifa is when she's already married. When she's married, she's removed from her father's domain. If the husband divorces her now, she gets the ksuba. So it's him against her. He has a cheskes hamamon, but she has a cheskes aguf. According to Malil, who Rav Ashi's explained, the whole mission is going like, holds that a cheskes aguf overrides a cheskes hamamon, and therefore she'll get the ksuba, and hence he has to bring the raya, because cheskes aguf is better. Now that the Gemara asks, Esver Rav Acha, Bered Rav Avi, Rav Ashi, he asks from the following braisa. The braisa says that Meidir Rav Meir. Rav Meir agrees that although he's the opinion that we're quoting here in our Mishnah, that he says that once she enters into her husband's domain, then it's upon the husband to bring a raya, and if he cannot bring a proof that it happened before they got engaged, then she does collect the ksuba. So the Bryce says the Rav Meir agrees, however, that if these are blemishes, that it makes sense that she already had it when she was single in her father's house. Now, right now, the Gemara's assumption, the question is, that it means to say any blemish that makes sense that it could have been from a father's household, meaning there's no reason for us to believe it just happened now. It makes sense that it was from beforehand. So that the Braisa says, there a mayor agrees, Shala'av lehevi raya. And then the father has to bring a proof because what's going on over here? Why should we think it just happened now? The father has to bring a proof, even though she already entered into her husband's domain. Now that the Gemara asks on Rav Ashi, but vamai, why, the way you just explained, mana libi yadchohu, that's a case, even if we could maybe think that this happened in her father's household, where it's her claim against his claim because she already married him, she's already nichnas l'rusha sabal. So in such a case, you should say that her cheskes haguf should override his cheskes hamamon. So why would Rav Meir agree in such a case, even if it's a blemish that makes sense that it was before, that doesn't make a difference? Fine, it makes sense. But still, it's a cheskes aguf versus a cheskes hamamon. So why do we say that then Rav Meir would agree that the father would have to bring a raya and not the husband? So I think my answer is Nahachma Yiskinan. The case that we're describing over here of a blemish that's ru'uyin lova yimah be'esavi, meaning that makes sense that it came from a father's household, means something like biseres, like she has an extra finger, where that you cannot say that it happened after Erison, that it most definitely was that she had this from before she was engaged. That's what we're saying, that even Rav Meir would agree that although he said in the Mishnah a difference between if it's Bishos Ha'av and Bishos Ha'bal, and once she enters Bishos Ha'bal, the husband has to bring a raya, if it's something like an extra finger, he doesn't have to bring proof and find witnesses to show that when she was single she had an extra finger, because something like an extra finger most definitely just not pop up after she was engaged, and that even Rav Meir would agree that the father would have to bring a raya. Now the Gemara asks, so then Yeseris, my raya, Maisi, what does that mean even? So what does that mean the father has to bring a proof? What's he proving? That it happened, that her finger, extra finger popped up after she was engaged? What does it even mean? It most definitely means that it doesn't have to give the ksuba. What could the father prove to be mighty the ksuba from the husband? So I think my answer is Raya Dura'a V'Nifayasu. No, the proof he could bring is that he could prove that when they were engaged, the Chassan saw the Kala and even mentioned something about the extra finger, which means that he knew about it. And if he went and consummated the relationship, that means he acquiesced to it, he was appeased by it, and if now he's staking a claim saying, well, there's a blemish, you knew about it, and therefore you can't stake the claim. That's what would be that on the father to bring a raya, but it wouldn't be like classically in the Mishnah that it's on the Baal Levi raya, because this is something that obviously was before Erison, and the husband wouldn't have to bring a raya, that that's what it was. So that's the resolution of what we started off in the previous daf, the three different approaches regarding the seeming contradiction in the Mishnah, that it seems like the Reish is like Rabbi Shua and the Seif is like Rabbi Gamliel, that we had Rabbi Elazar who actually said that it is like two different Tanoim. We had Rava who said that it's all Rabbi Gamliel, but Kanimtza Kanhoyu defines that will tell us that that's where it started, and therefore it's Bershus Sa'av, we assume that it was the problem over there, and therefore he has to bring the proof that it wasn't that before the Erison, whereas when it's in the husband's Rishus, we say it was by the husband. And then we have Rav Ashi, who we just described, but also says it's going like a Malil. But he says that the difference would be about who's staking the claim. If it's by Erison, when she's still Bishra Sa'av, it's the father's claim who doesn't have the Cheskes HaGuf with it. Whereas when she's already Bishra Sa'bal, then it's the daughter who's taking the claim, and therefore she has a Cheskes HaGuf. It's like Man Li B'Yad Cha, where her Cheskes HaGuf overrides his Cheskes HaMom, and therefore a love on the husband, Lehevi Raya. Now the Gemara continues the following halacha from Shmuel that relates to the halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Yehuda Mar Shmuel. He says, HaMachlif Par B'Chamar. If someone is swapping, exchanging a cow for a donkey, and that is one person has a cow, Reuben has a cow, and Shimon has a donkey, they're switching, that each one wants the other one. Umashach bal hachamor es haparo. Now, the owner of the donkey goes, and he goes to the owner of the cow. They each have it in their own yard, and he goes to the cow person, and he draws the cow. He does what's called kin mishicha. Now, the donkey wasn't there present at the time when he was drawing the cow for himself. Now, however, the Mishnah teaches Masechtas Kedushin that whenever it's essentially the same thing as money, where one person is paying money and then the product becomes the person who paid. Here also the same thing is that once one of them did Meshicha, he drew the cow to himself. So then it's like that person paid him money, which is the cow. So then his friend, the one who had owned the cow up until now, owns now the donkey. Hence, the Gemara says with the Masechtas Kedushin that all mishaps that happen now to the donkey is not the donkey owner's problem, it's the previous cow owner's problem, because he gave away his cow, he paid for the donkey with the cow. Now the previous donkey owner has the cow, and the previous cow owner now has the donkey. So anything that happens to the donkey now, even though it's still in the cow owner's property, will be a problem for the donkey owner, for the new donkey owner, for the old cow owner. So that's the case. So he goes, he draws, the previous donkey owner now draws the cow himself. And Valahispik Balapar Limchach Esachamar. Now the cow owner, previous cow owner, didn't get a chance to yet go to that cow owner's house and draw and bring the donkey back home to himself. Achamei Sachamar. Until they came there and they're saying, oh, I'm so happy, like, oh, he's bringing the cow with him to his house. He says, okay, wait a second, let me get my donkey ready for you. And he comes and he finds that the donkey's dead. Now, the previous cow owner, he's saying that before you got a chance to draw my cow, your donkey was already dead. And therefore, the loss of the death is your problem, previous donkey owner, and therefore give me back my cow. But the new cow owner who had owned the donkey says, no, it's not true. That actually, it was still alive when I did the Mashiach. But by the time we got to my house, it died, and therefore it was already yours, says the new cow owner, the old donkey owner, and therefore it's your loss, the donkey. I get to keep the cow. So what's the halacha? So in that, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, al-balacha mor lehevi raya. The previous owner of the donkey, who he drew the cow for himself, actually it's incumbent upon him to prove the circumstances, that he has to prove that his donkey was still alive at the time that he had taken the cow for himself. If he cannot prove, he has to give back the cow to the previous cow owner. Now, on that, Rabbi Yehuda says, name of Shmuel, the Tana of our Mishnah that talks about the blemishes of a Kala, supports me, which was the case of the Mishnah we're talking about when there's a blemish that was discovered in the Kala. From our Mishnah, we could prove this halacha of Shmuel. So the Gemara wonders, Hai Kala, which case of our Mishnah would support this halacha of Shmuel? So the Gemara asks, Elam, if you say it's talking about, as we can tell him, Beis, Kala Bevesavia, if you're saying it's the case of the Reish of the Mishnah, where when they come to court, when she's still engaged, where the husband's saying, well, she has blemishes. And the Mishnah said that the father has to prove that it actually started, it only was developed the blemishes after she was engaged. But before she was engaged, she didn't have that blemish. And therefore, it's your mekach, you already are engaged to my daughter, you don't want her anymore, you have to give a ksuba. And he's saying no. He's saying that it's not true, it probably was there before. So the Mishnah said the father has to prove it. Now Rashi points out that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar. As Rashi later on goes through a cheshbon at the end of this Gemara, how he knows that it has to be like Rabbi Elazar, not like the other two interpretations of the previous daf, how to resolve the Mishnah, who's it going like. So he says that Shmuel is like Rabbi Elazar, who says that the two cases of our Mishnah are like two different Tanoim. Now, therefore, the opinion of the Reisha, which we said is like Rabbi Yeshua, is even if that actually the daughter already went to chuppah, and she's already b'shus habal, still the Tana of the Reisha holds that the father has to bring a raya, even though the suffix wasn't discovered in his domain, it was only discovered when she was already married, it doesn't make a difference. That he still has to bring a raya, like Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that the cheskes mamna of the husband overrides the cheskes haguf of the daughter. Now, so what we see from the manda amr of the Reisha of our Mishnah is that you cannot collect money out of doubt. Even though the suffix again was b'shus habal, but when they want to collect from him the ksuba, that you cannot collect. Now, therefore, Rabbi Huda says in the name of Shmuel that illustrates Shmuel's halacha, where the owner of the donkey cannot maintain this cow that he was trying to collect, that he took from his friend out of doubt. And moreover, even though the doubt happened, quote, b'shus chaveroi, because when did they discover the dead donkey? When he had already taken the cow for himself. Once he takes the cow, in halacha essentially, the donkey becomes the previous cow owner's, and it's in his rishus, because since the Mashiach was already done. So what we see is that seemingly the same thing as the halacha of our Mishnah, according to the mandam of the Reisha, where although the suffix is being noyel b'shus habal, still, as we're saying, it's like a Bishua, the father still has to bring a raya if he wants to be Maitzi Mammon. That's essentially like Shmuel's halacha, where although the suffix is noel Bishus of the new donkey owner, because it's really his Rishus now, because the previous donkey owner already took the par for himself, thus making it wherever the donkey is already Bishus of that new donkey owner, and now we only discover it after that Mashiach was already done, and still we say that the previous donkey owner, he has to bring a raya because he's trying to be mighty the para from the previous para owner. Now, that the Gemara says, me dummy, is it really comparable? You really going to bring a raya from our Mishnah to this halacha of Shmuel? But Hassam, over there in our Mishnah, it makes sense why the father has to bring a raya. Because yes, even though the suffix wasn't Nerl B'shus, so it was Nerl B'shus Habal, but he's the one that's being mighty mechaveroi. He wants to take away the money from the husband to collect the ksuba. Maisi avrayu mapik. So the father has to bring proof because he wants to collect the money. Now, from there you want to learn to hacha, over here to the case of Shmuel, where the Baal HaChamor, the original Baal HaChamor, he's not trying to collect the para. He already did Mashiach on the para. He's just trying to maintain the para. And you're saying, Maisi Baal HaChamor rayu umaykim, that the owner of the donkey has to bring a proof that he could maintain the money that he already has? He already has the para. How could you compare it to the case of the Mishnah? Yes. The Mishnah tells us, if you're being mighty mechaveroi, even if the suffix is nailed b'shus of the other person, you still have to bring a raya because you're being mighty, because that's Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, who we're explaining is going like, who says the cheskes mammon overrides the cheskes hakof. But how can you compare that to Shmuel's halacha? Why would the Baal HaChamor have to bring a raya that he could maintain the para if he already has it? And it's especially since the suffix is nailed b'shus of that new Baal HaChamor, the old Baal para. So Amar Rabba says, you're right. Actually, the Raya to Shmuel is not from the Reish of the Mishnah, it's actually from the Seif of the Mishnah, from the next case. Of the case of Kala Beveis Chamehal, of when the daughter-in-law is already in her father-in-law's house, meaning that when she already consummated the relationship, she's already Bishus Habal. So then the Mishnah said that it's Al Habal Lehevi Raya, then the husband has to bring a proof. Now, as we explained, the Shmuel is going like Rebbe Elazar's resolution of the two contradictory cases, which he says is actually like two different Tanoim, where it's that it's going like Rebbe Gamliel, who he actually argues even on the case of the Reisha, even when it's found the blemish Beveis Avia, even though the subject was nailed Beshus Abal, still, as we explained in the previous daf, the husband still has to bring a Raya to remove the star of the Ksuba that the woman has. And that's because we explained that since she has a cheskas aguf, Rebbe Gamliel holds a cheskas aguf is stronger than the cheskas mamon of the baal, and even if it's nil b'shus av, he has to bring a raya. Now, that proof that the husband has to bring is not to be mighty, because he has the money already. He just wants to be machzik, he wants to maintain his money, and still we say that he has to bring a raya that her blemish was developed even before she got engaged. And because if he doesn't, he's going to have to give the money. So he has to bring right just to hold on to his money. So therefore, Rav Abba says the same thing is regarding Shmuel's case, where for sure the Balach Amar should have to bring a raya to be able to hold on to the par that he did Mashiach to, because still on some level, even though he said he did Mashiach already on the par and it is being machzikit, but it's still someone else's par that he wants to be machzik. Because if it comes out that he was wrong, obviously it's not his par and he has to give it back. Now, if we say by the husband, where it was always his money, and still he has to bring a raya to hold on to his money, for sure, in the case of Shmuel, Rav Abba says that's the raya, where he wants to hold on to at least someone else's money, which on some level is his money, then for sure he's going to have to bring a raya. Now, on that the Gemara still asks, it's still not comparable, the case of Shmuel, to the case of our Mishnah. Because Hassam, there in the case of our Mishnah by the Seifa, where we're saying is like the opinion of Rav Gamliel, it makes sense that the Baal should have to bring a raya. The reason being is because, yes, he has a cheskes mamon and he's holding on to his money, but the cheskes haguf that the woman has to say that the blemish probably did not develop before she was engaged, we said it was as late as possible because her presumptive state is that she in her body is that she didn't have a blemish, that supports the father's claim. And therefore we should say that he needs to bring a raya. That Baal Maisi Rai, the husband has to bring a Rai that the blemish was actually there even before they got engaged. And then Umar Leilacheskid Av, because that will then, together with his Cheskas HaMamon, especially since we're saying it's like Rav Gamliel, who generally holds Cheskas HaGuf overrides Cheskas HaMamon. So, yes, even though there the husband's going to have to bring a Raya to hold on to his own money for something that actually was that was Bishus HaAv. Because the woman has a cheskes aguf, and Rabbi Gamliel holds cheskes aguf is better than cheskes hamamon. So that's why we could explain the case of the Mishnah that the husband has to bring a raya to cut down to show that the cheskes aguf is not so great, because that by showing that the blemish was already there already before they got engaged. Now, however, hacha, but in the case of Shmuel, balach hamor meisi raya umukim chazake biyadei. Here the previous donkey owner has to bring a proof, which actually the chazak is working in his merit. In other words, the cheskes haguf over here of the animal, which is essentially the subject that we're discussing, just like the case of the woman, where there the question was, did she have a blemish? When did she have a blemish? Here the same thing is in the donkey. When did the donkey die? Now, the cheskes haguf supports the balach amar, because when you say that you should... When at the time of Mashiach, what's the chazaka? What would we presume the donkey is right now? When he's doing Mashiach on the park, we say it's probably alive. It was alive 2 minutes ago, 2 hours ago, 2 days ago. It's probably still alive. Now, what that means is, that means to say that, so whose domain did it die in? Well, as late as possible. What do you mean as late as possible? When we found out it's dead, that maybe it died a minute ago. That was already Bishus HaBal HaPar, meaning the domain of the previous cow owner, we assume that it probably died by him. So that's the Gemara's question. Why does the Baal HaMor have to bring a Raya? Even though you're proving from the Mishnah that it's to hold on to your own money, even if the suffix was Neilid Bishus HaAchar, you have to bring a raya. But that's only because in the case of the Mishnah, there's a cheskes haguf that the father and the daughter side have. And Rambam holds that's usually better than the cheskes hamamet. So you have to bring a raya. But here, the cheskes haguf is supporting the one who has the cheskes mamet. So why in Shmuel's case, and that's why it's not comparable to the case of Mishnah, would the Baal HaChamar have to bring a raya that the Chamar was alive at the time that he did Mashiach on the par? So Amar of Nachma Yitzchak, he says that actually it's the ratio of the Mishnah that supports Shmuel's halacha. Which is the case of Kala Bavesaviyah, when the Kala is still in our father's household, that we said that that the responsibility of the proof is incumbent upon the father, even though the Cheskes HaGuf is working in his favor. Now, as we explained, that Shmuel is going like Rabbi Elazar, who says that the ratio of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yeshua, which actually he argues even on the case of the Seifa, where the responsibility of the raya will be on the father, even though the suffix was nailed b'shus habal, wasn't nailed b'shus hay. That will bring a raya to Shmuel's halacha. Now, the question we had asked already, we already proposed the raya from the ratio. Question was, but that is a proof for being mitzi mamon, because the father wants to be mitzi mamon from the husband to collect the ksuba. Now, how does that compare, which was the Gemara's previous question, to the Baal Chamor, who he's not trying to be mitzi mamon, he's trying to be he's trying to hold on to the part he already has. So how could that prove that he would have to bring a raya from the Mishnah, which is to be Maitzi Mamon? Now that the Gemara answers that actually the proof that we're discussing over here is not like we had assumed up until now that it's to be Maitzi the Ksuba, that because that's actually being Maitzi. So there it makes sense that that's being Maitzi and not Mukim, and that would not be comparable to Shmuel. What we're talking about is Uli Kiddushin. We're talking about that the father could hold on to the Gedushin that he got. Meaning, when they got engaged, let's say the husband gave a ring to the Kala. Now, in the Talmudic times, they were engaged for 12 months, and it was at that period where it was discovered the blemish, or even at a later period. Now, that Rabbi Yeshua said that the father has to bring a raya. What that means is that if he doesn't bring a raya, he has to give back the ring, he has to give back the Gedushin. Now, what is that? That's to be machzik mamon. And we see, therefore, from our Mishnah, from Rabbi Shua's opinion, that even if the father wants to be machzik mamon, and even though the subject was nailed b'shus habal, meaning it was only happened later that they discovered that she had blemishes, still the father's going to have to bring a raya to hold on to money that's already his. And therefore we see, similarly, exactly like Shmuel's halacha, where the Baal HaChamor is going to have to bring a raya to hold on to money that's already his, even though the suffix nailed b'shus Baal HaPar, where we assume that the Chamor was already in his rishus. Now, moreover, of Nachman Yitzchak says, he says, and v'loy tamer, don't say this that I said, that the proof has to be brought, and I'm explaining the case of the Mishnah, even to just hold on to Kedushin that he already has. Don't say that it's only Aliba demand on my Kedushin that goes according to the one who says that Kedushin, meaning a general Kedushin, is lav l'tivu nitnu. It was not given for it to be, what literally means to be sunken. And it comes from mutfa, which means that it gets lost, meaning that, for example, the case which is a machloikis in Mesechtes Baba Basa, which is what he's referring to, is that if, let's say, the chasen dies before they get a chance to go to the chuppah, before they consummate it for nisuin, so then there is an opinion that says that the Kedushin has to be returned. And the reason being is because the understanding is that the Kedushin is only given that if they get married. If they don't, then you have to give it to the Yershin of that Chasen. Now, maybe you would say, so therefore over here, where it's a Kedushin Misafik, we don't know when the Mumen were developed. So then we say that, okay, so as we see that Kedushin is not so definitive, it's not so absolute with our cases when he dies that you have to give it back. So therefore, maybe you would say that that's what the Mishnah would be going like when I'm saying that the father has to bring a riot to just maintain the Kedushin, because if not, he has to give it back, because we see it's not so absolute, and that's why he has to bring a riot. On that is what Ibn Nachman Yitzchak says, that's not true. Ela filamandam a Kedushin l'tivunin, even according to the pin that says that Kedushin is absolute, it's sunken, it's lost, meaning the chasam will never get it back. Even if he dies and doesn't get a chance to go to Nisuin, his Yershin do not get it, she gets to hold on to it. Still, I'll say that even there, it's on the father to bring a raya, and if not, he has to give back the Kedushin. Because hani mili Kedushin vaday. When do we say Kedushin are litivuin, that it's done, you'll never get the Kedushin back? It's only definitive, it's a definite that Kedushin. of a kedushay tois, but in the case of when it's a mistaken kedushin, then imaisi raya in. Then if the father brings a proof, then yes, he'll be able to hold on to the kedushin, but iloi loy. But if it doesn't, then not. And then even those opinions in Sechta Baba Basra would agree that the father would have to give it back. And again, that supports the opinion of Shmuel, the way he's describing it now, that the father has to bring a raya, not to be moitzi the ksuba, but to hold on to the kedushin that he already had, which is exactly like the parallel of Shmuel's case. Now, Rashi does point out that if one would ask, how could we explain the sugi over here of the halach of Shmuel, like Rabbi Lazar, and that from the reish of the Mishnah, we're supporting Shmuel's halacha, which was like Rabbi Yeshua. But the problem is, as Rashi points out, Shmuel paskins halacha zagam liel in the first parak of Yud Beis and Beis. So how could he support his halacha from Rabbi Yeshua? So that Rashi says, you're right. And actually, the conclusion of the Gemara will not be that this is what Shmuel actually said, and therefore the Gemara is not bothered by that. But truthfully be told that you're right, it wouldn't work out because Shmuel cannot support his halacha from Yeshua. If he doesn't even hold like Yeshua, he actually holds like a liel. But the Gemara continues and asks on this halacha of Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. Meisvei, learn the brayse as follows. Machat shenimtzas be'ovi beis hakoses. If a needle was found, meaning after they shechted, they open up the animal, and they find there's a needle in the thickness of the walls of what's called the beis hakoses, which literally means the place of the cups, which is the reticulum. That is, there's a place at the edge of the keres, which is the paunch, which is the first stomach of the ruminant, which is near the hemsis, which is the third stomach, which is the yomasum. Near there, there's what's called the beis hakoses, which is the second of the stomachs, which is like a cup. That's why it's called beis hakoses. Now there is at the edge of this stomach of this beis hakoses, there's a wall that has it's a double wall. It's a double thickness, which these two walls are attached to each other. Now, if a needle is found lodged into this the thickness of this wall, now, from the thickness of the wall, it's possible that since it was so thick, it's a double wall, that it didn't perforate, it didn't go through. If it perforates, it's a trefa, it's non-kosher animal because it's non-viable. Now, if you find inside of it, mitzad echad, that the needle is only penetrated on one side, in the inside, and not on both sides, then the animal is going to be kosher because that's not considered a neck. If it's not a perforation, it doesn't make it into a trefa, it could still survive. But mishneit stad and trefa, if it was found on both sides, it went through all the way, then it's a non-kosher animal. Nimtza leh korid dam, if a speck of blood was found on the needle itself, so then you do a shehu lefnei shechita, then you know that it perforated, and that's why it became blooded when it went through the membranes, that it perforated beforehand, and therefore the animal at the time of shechita was a trefa and therefore non-kosher. Loy nimtza leh korid dam, but if you don't find a speck of blood on the needle, then be do a shul achar shechita. Then you know that although it went through, the reason why it didn't bleed is because it was already dead, and that's why it's going to be a kosher animal. Now, huglid pi hamaka. If let's say we had penetrated in the stomach, in the wall, that there's a scab there where it perforated. So be do a shleisha yom koidem shechita. So then you know that not only was it there from when it was still alive, but it actually has been there for some time. That's how it developed a scab. And it must have been at least 3 days before it was slaughtered that it was already a trefa. What the relevance of that is that if the sheichet, the butcher, had bought the animal from the farmer within the last 3 days, so then it's what's called a mekach tois. It's a mistaken acquisition because he's buying a kosher animal, not a non-kosher animal. And therefore, the owner of the animal has to return the money to him because he sold him a trefa, a non-kosher animal. However, but if there's no scab on that area, so then it's not clear. When did the blemish develop? When did the problem happen? Was it before he had purchased it or after it? So one of them is saying it, that it was already perforated before I purchased it, and therefore give me my money back. Another one says, no, it only happened after I sold it to you. So on that, the Braisa says, so whoever is it that has the money, whoever's trying to take out the money from the other one, he has to bring the raya, because this is a suffix. We don't know. Whenever there's an area of doubt, the one who's trying to collect from the other one, he has to prove that it's like him, and therefore then he could collect. But if not, then it stays status quo, and the one who has the money holds on to it. Now, that Gemara concludes the question. V'iyov tavach damim. What comes out is, if the butcher already had paid the seller, so it comes out that he's the maitzi, because he's trying to collect his money back from the seller, and therefore then he has to bring the raya. So bayilasui raya mapik. So he has to bring the proof, and then he can get his money back. But what comes out is if he can't prove it, because he's supposed to prove what was going on in the animal's stomach, so then the maicher, the seller, will maintain the money out of doubt. Now that the question is, now this animal that he sold, where was the blemish discovered? In his animal, that's where the reyesa is. Now that, the Gemara asks, that seems to be the same thing as the case of the donkey of Shmuel, where it was that the donkey seller, his donkey is what had the problem in it, meaning it died. And what did Shmuel say? Shmuel says that, so the donkey owner has to bring a raya that it was alive at the time. So then the Gemara asks, Vamai, if you say like Shmuel, then Baal Behema Lasi Raya Venoikim, then the seller, the owner of the animal, he should have to bring a raya to maintain his holding of the money, because that seems to be exactly like Shmuel's halacha, where we said that the Baal HaChamor has to bring a raya that the donkey was alive at the time, because the reyesa is in his donkey, so that he could hold on to the cow that he already has. So why over here do we say that the animal owner doesn't have to bring a raya and he could hold on to the money? Why? Even to be meikim a mina, even for the Baal HaChamor to hold on to the parah, Shmuel says, since the problem was in his donkey, even though the suffix was nearly b'shus of the new Baal HaChamor, still the original Baal HaChamor has to bring a raya. So here also, the Baal HaBehema should have to bring a raya, since this is something, a problem with his animal, that the suffix happened after the time of the sale. And then he could hold on to the money. But if not, he should bring a raya. Why does the Braisa seemingly say that he doesn't have to bring a raya? And the Maitzi, who in that case is the Baal HaTavach, is the Sheichet, is the butcher, that he has to bring a raya. So that the Gemara answers for Shmuel. It's Toma, but the law you have Tavach Adami. You're right. The case of the Braisa is Toma when the butcher did not pay yet. And therefore this that the Braisa taught, HaMoitzi Mechaveroi, is who's trying to collect from who? The Baal HaBehema. The seller is trying to collect his money from the butcher, and therefore, since he's the claimant, he has to bring a raya, and that makes sense, because that's for sure over there where the problem is with his animal, and he's trying to collect, that the butcher says, no, I'm not paying. You prove that it was kosher at the time that you sold it to me. Now, however, on that thing, I'm going to ask my Pascha. What exactly did you see fit to define this case of the Braisa as only when the butcher gave, when the butcher didn't give money? In other words, if the ton of this Braisa holds that the proof is always on the Baal HaBehema, whether he's trying to collect from the butcher, or whether he's trying to hold on to the money the butcher already gave him, which essentially that's what comes out if you hold like Shmuel, because Shmuel holds that if the problem is with that person's animal, even if he's only to be moikim amayna, he has to bring the raya. So how does the Braisa call it ha-moitzi mechaveroi on the Baal HaBehema, on the seller of the animal? Why do they call him always the moitzi mechaveroi? In other words, because it could be either when he's trying to collect or when he's trying to hold on to the money. Now, what are you going to say? That no, he's always trying to collect the seller before at the time when it was slaughtered. But that the Gemara's question is, what do you mean? What do you think? It's always like that? That people always sell animals on pure faith, and that therefore the seller is always going to be the maitzi at the time when the possible blemish is discovered? What, he's always the maitzi and he's not the maimed? What, people never, there are never butchers that pay up front before the seller will give them the animal? And therefore, if that's possibly a case where definitely people don't give up their animals without being paid beforehand, because they know once it's done, they're never getting their money so fast. So why would you say that the case of a maitzi is only when the butcher didn't give money and the seller is trying to collect? Seemingly it should be the other way too, but the other way too is a problem for Shmuel. Because Shmuel said that if the butcher paid already, according to Shmuel, it would have to be that the meicher still would have to bring a raya, but the Braisa says not, because the Braisa says, I'm moitzi mechaveroi of a raya. Since the butcher would be trying to get his money, seemingly from the halacha of the Braisa, the meicher does not have to bring a raya. So El Rav, the Gemara says, Ki asa Rami bar Yecheskel, when Rami bar Yecheskel came to Bavel, Amar, he said, Don't pay attention to these general rules that my brother Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel. And that is Rabbi Yehuda, who we had been quoting all along, this halacha in the name of Shmuel, and Rami were both sons of Yechezkel. So Rami, the son of Yechezkel, says, don't pay attention. What my brother said in the name of Shmuel that you were discussing up until now is incorrect. Actually, this is what Shmuel said. Kol shenaylid safik b'rshusay. Shmuel said a different klal, a different general rule. He says, wherever in whoever's domain the doubt has arisen, alav haraya, a coming upon him is the proof. And what that comes out is, actually, in the case that we described previously, that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that he said that it's abala chamorle v'raya, according to the new version of Rami Bar Yechezkel, his brother, he says, actually, it's a coming upon the bal hapara to bring a raya, that the donkey died before Mashiach was done. The reason being is because, when was the doubt noilid? When did we discover the doubt? When it was already b'shusai, because the moment the Baal HaChamor did Mashiach on the para, automatically the Chamor gets acquired to him. Now, when they come 3 days later or 3 hours later and they discover it's dead, but it was noilid already in his rishus. And the reason being is because we didn't know that it was dead. We didn't find it to be dead until the Baal HaChamor already did Mashiach on the para. And on that is what Batana Tuna Kala. And that's what Shmuel said, that the Rayi is from our Mishnah regarding Kala. Now, the reason being is because the way Rashi explains, which works out because we said that the previous version of Shmuel, like Rebbe Laza, which came out that he was being a Rayi from Yeshua, which didn't work out well because Shmuel doesn't pass him like Rebbe Yeshua, is that now Rashi is explaining that Shmuel holds that the entire Mishnah is going like one Tana, like Greg Mamliel. Like Rav had said, the second of the three resolutions on the previous daf, that it's all a Greg Mamliel, and that the reason for the Reish and the Seifa is based on the principle of what's called Kan Nimtza Kan Hoya. When it was discovered in the father's domain, we say the problem was there, and therefore he has to bring a raya. When it was discovered in the husband's domain, we say that it was developed over there, and therefore he has to bring a raya, that it wasn't there, that it was beforehand. And therefore, actually, the support for Shmuel's halacha in the new version is actually both from the Reish and from the Seifa. Because what essentially that means to say is whoever discovers the problem in his domain, he has to bring the raya. If it's in the father's domain, so the father has to bring a raya. When she already entered the chuppah, she's already b'shus habal, so the husband has to bring a raya. Now, moreover, Rashi points out, which is relevant to the case that we're describing exactly, is that even if the husband is living by his in-laws, it's still considered his domain, meaning she already had chuppah, it's already nichnas l'shus habal. And essentially, that's the same case as we have over here, because although the donkey is b'shus of the original donkey owner, but the moment the sale happens, when the original donkey owner acquires the cow, the old cow owner, it's already his thing. So it's like a chasen by his shver's house, by his father-in-law, where it's his donkey, it's just by the original donkey owner's house. And therefore, that's what Shmuel is saying, that since the suffix is nailed b'shusai of the new donkey owner, therefore it's a love lehevi raya, it's on the original bala part to bring a raya that the donkey was already dead before, and then if he can't, it's his loss. Now, that the Gemara asks meisve. On this new version, it asks from the Brice that we brought before, the Brice said, machat shenimtzis bo'ivi beis ha-kaisis b'chulu, if the needle was found in the thickness of the walls, and went on, and it said that basically that when the butcher bought from the farmer, when he bought from the seller, that whoever is trying to collect money from the other one, it's hamoitzi mechel of raya, that person has to bring a raya. Now, but now the Gemara says, what comes out according to this general law that the Brice is saying is, that ve'idu lo yov tavach dami, if the butcher didn't pay yet, and he slaughters, and he goes and he checks out the inside, he says, this animal is a treifa. So what comes out is bal behema boyla sui raya map. It comes out, the butcher says, I'm not paying for this, it's not a kosher animal. So the seller says, what do you mean? It was kosher when I sold it to you, maybe it developed in your domain. Now, since he didn't pay yet, so who's the maitzi? The seller's the maitzi. So it comes out that the seller's going to have to bring proof that it was kosher at the time that he sold it, and that the blemish only happened once the butcher had already bought it. But that, the question is, vamai, why? Sveker b'shus tavach is yaled. The doubt is happening in the domain of the butcher. Because when do we discover the treifa? Only once he shechted it. That's already in the domain of the butcher. Now, you said that, according to Shmuel, that whoever, you say kanim tse kanhoi, whatever the suffix was discovered, that person has to prove that it didn't just happen here, that it happened before. So why shouldn't the Baal HaTavach, why shouldn't the butcher have to bring a raya? Why do you say that the seller who's trying to collect the money has to bring a raya? So that the Gemara answers. The Yav Tavach Dami, you're right, the Brice is only talking about where the butcher gave money already. Already paid up. Now, actually, as Rashi points out, the halacha would apply even if the butcher didn't pay up yet. You're right, the raya would still be on the butcher to prove that it didn't happen in his domain and it happened already by the seller. Because that was the principle that we're describing, which like Rava, based on Kanemtze Kanhaya. It doesn't make a difference who's trying to be Maitzi Mammon. That's not the primary point. The primary point is, where was it discovered? That's where we assume that's where it happened. Now, however, the Tana just describes the butcher as a Maitzi, as he's the one that's trying to get his money back from the seller. But you're right, it would even be, even if he didn't pay yet, he would still have to prove. The onus of the proof would be on him. But then the Gemara asks, similar to the question asked on the previous version of Shmuel, now it asks us on the other way. Umay Pascha, where did you see fit? In other words, why is the Tana of the Braisa calling the butcher a Maitzi? If you just said that the halacha really applies whether he's trying to be hold on to his money or try to get back his money, it's still the onus is on him. So why do you describe it as the Tana of the Braisa, as a Maitzi, as he's trying to collect and get his money back? If the halacha would be, even as you're saying, for Shmuel, because of Kanemtze Kanoi, even if he's trying to hold on to his money, he would lose his money if he can't prove it. On that, the Gemara says, which doesn't work for the previous version of the Gemara, which was saying regarding that the seller, we were assuming that the butcher didn't pay. Now we're assuming the butcher did pay, so the Gemara says, because Stam the Mills, the reason why the Braisa calls the butcher as trying to get his money back, even though the halacha would be, even if he's trying to hold on to his money, is because generally, Kamen de Leyov Inish Duzi, if a person's not giving money, lo yov inish chayusa, guy's not giving his animal. No seller generally will give something on pure faith, on credit, if he doesn't have the money yet. And that's why they're calling him a maitzi. You're right, the halacha would be, as we're explaining for Shmuel, which the proof is from our Mishnah of Kanetze Kanoi, the way Rav explained our Mishnah on the previous daf, would apply in both cases, but it makes sense why the Brice is calling the butcher a maitzi, because generally, if something wrong happens, he's going to have to try to get his money back, and not that he's just trying to hold on to his money. Now the Mishnah concluded by saying, "Vachacham Aymer." They said, "Bamed v'mrum." When did we say this halacha, that of her mayor in the Mishnah, that the husband could stake claims, saying, "Oh, blemish! Ah, I didn't marry a woman with the intentions of having a blemish, and therefore I don't want to give iksuba." So the Chacham said, "It's only b'mumet shebeseifetz. It's only if it's a concealed blemish, where we assume that could be he didn't know about it, and therefore it's a mekach tois. But if it's something out in the open, he obviously knew about it, and therefore then you can't stake a claim once you're married. You obviously knew and you were okay with it, and now you're just not interested in the Ramah, then you would have to give the Ksuba. Now, one qualification regarding this halacha, Mumet Shebeseisa, Amar Rav Nachman, he says, we continue on top of Ayin Zan Man Aleph, that v'nichve, that the disease known as epilepsy, where a person just collapses to the ground, that is something that doesn't happen at all times, is k'mumet shebeseisa dami. That's like a hidden blemish. And the reason is because since she knows certain times that she's more vulnerable, so she knows not to go out at those times, and therefore no one really knows that she has epilepsy, and therefore it's something that could be he didn't know about, he only discovered once he was married. And therefore there the Chacham would agree that would be considered a mum that he could stake a claim for. However, the Gemara does say, "Vahani mili de kavile is mama." That's only regarding an epilepsy where she knows at certain designated times that they can happen, so she could be careful. And therefore, it could be she kept it on the wraps. Avalei kavile, but if it's something that doesn't have set times, then kamum shabagolidim, and it's obviously something like a revealed blemish, meaning people obviously know about it because she can't be careful and you can't stay in lockdown your whole life. So it must have happened that sometimes out in the open that she just collapsed. And therefore, again, according to Chacham, that would not be a type of a blemish that a husband could claim because it's a mumet shebegalui, and the mumet shebegalui, obviously the husband knew about it, and he was okay with it, and he married her, and therefore now he's just making it up, and therefore if he wanted to divorce her, he would have to give her her ksubah.